This is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to Shell Shock.
So, hey, everyone. Welcome back. And just want to say, you know, having a great time not recording, and I guess a great time recording also. So what has everyone been up to? How about Karen, you start us off?
Well, for the most part, it's been working. And finally catching up on comic books. I it's pretty boring, actually. I did see the new movie. Which at this point is no longer new. But I did see it in the theater. We're going to talk about that later there, so I won't go into spoilers. But yeah, no, pretty much the long and short of it. I'm a little bummed I'm not going to Shellback this weekend in Wells, Maine. They're doing a free comic day thing, of course. I have no idea when this is going to air, so it might not be this weekend at all.
With Turtles 31 Volume 4, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm really bummed about not being able to get. But the last time I went up there, I had to rent a car, which kind of sucks. And then I lost my iPod, so I spent way more money that day than I had initially intended. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Work, catching up on nerdy things.
Also.
Oh, no, this was like, I love this iPod, man. It was great.
Oh, no, they are pretty cool. I actually do have one. It's a hand-me-down, but I got one. Hey, Jeff, what have you been up to?
I've been looking for jobs. I got a job coach helping me look for some employment. It's been kind of nice looking around, you know, meeting people in this town I'm living in, Carlisle. Most of the time I just hang out with my niece and nephew. They love watching TV with me. And when we talk about the cartoon later, there I'll definitely get into that. But other than that, fantastic. I've just been working on my website and... What?
Said fantastic.
Yeah.
Colton, what have you been up to? Why do you have the same voice as me?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
Now you don't.
Just say your names. Before.
Just say your names before you speak, and then I totally figured it out.
But I have gotten a job, so that's fantastic. I have money.
Oh,
so
hey, congrats.
With any luck, jeez. I should be getting caught up on my Turtles comics.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're like way behind.
I am way behind. I mean, outside of getting like a few small trades, like catching up on like classic Mirage Turtles and stuff, because I had to get that. I had to get Volumes 4 and 5 because I had to get City at War. Other than that, I was behind for a long time.
You got your priorities in the right place.
Agreed.
Isaac, what have you been up to? Which part of the one road of Canada do you live on? You know, what are your favorite pizza toppings up there?
I love how you pronounce my name so awesomely too, which is great. But anyway, I've been continuously gainfully unemployed, which means that I'm freelancer. So we're shooting another documentary right now. This one's not Turtles related. This one's on the history of Conan the Barbarian.
Fine, disconnect right now. No.
Yeah. It's totally different, but, you know, it's still totally in this the same vein of how we approached the last one. Since we last were on here, the doc came out, did lots of PR. I don't know if we did the Comic-Con panel since then. I think so. We had a Comic-Con panel and a Fan Expo panel. It was good.
That was before.
Yeah, we had a good run. We had a really good run with it. We're really proud of what we got out there. Dealt with all of the super crazy reviews, which are relatively positive, 90% of them, but even the super positive ones have these really funny negative aspects to them, and hopefully we can talk about that all that later.
You know, like, I've been name-dropping you, like, at clubs in L.A., and I've just been getting into places. Thank you.
That's great. I'm glad. It's getting me nowhere.
but it's going to be everywhere. Like, I'm
down
I'm
with Isaac, dog.
I'm getting jobs wiping the asses of the richest people with their $100 bills. And, no. Anyway, so, Andrew, what's been going on with you?
Not a terrible whole lot for a while, but a lot of post-production on Highlander Dark Places, which is now one film. Post-production on The Falls, another full feature. finalizing publication of Turtles Odyssey, which is now, as I speak right now, it is being printed. So about 260 people will be happy about that. In the
Hear that, Seven-Year-Old Forums?
And that's about it. I mean, a lot of moving around, a lot of work, like the work that's not all of that.
Total shameless self-promotion. Andrew, hire me next time, or I don't even hire me. Get me to draw your comics next time. Now that I'm betraying myself how to draw comics.
Well, that's right. You were working on stuff. Yeah.
Well, I've got totally different stuff now. I got to show you stuff different now. Yeah.
Word. Like that's fantastic.
I'd like to see it.
Did I miss anybody? No.
What have you been up to, Josh?
Cool.
Me. I haven't been doing anything really important. Today I drank beer at the pool. I practiced my nunchuck skills. I didn't put a shirt on today.
You are living the life.
Yeah, Jeff's life is officially better than all of ours.
Weren't you doing a YouTube show?
Lucky bastard living in Southern California all the time.
Well, what happened to your YouTube show?
If you don't buy anything. Oh, Battle Geek Plus. I've been doing that. We've been filming stuff for that once a week. I'm kind of working more on the business side of that lately. Like, when I have a part, like, I'll do my part. But other than that, like, I've been working on getting appointments and stuff for E3, getting set up with all the professional connections we have at the moment, that sort of thing. So, like, really what I do is I don't put a shirt on, but I still put a tie on and I show up at the meetings.
That's classy.
Then I'm just kind of like, hey, this is what our business cards are going to look like.
You should draw your suspenders on with black magic marker.
I'm going to do that next week. I'm going to do that. We're going to hold a meeting on Tuesday, and I'm going to do that.
Can you assure me that when you put the tie on, you have a collar and then maybe a hat, so you're like Yogi Bear?
I can work on the collar, but the hat I could do no problem.
What if he just wore a dickie?
I'm sorry.
Dickie. What?
Shirtless, but you should have a top hat and a monocle.
You don't know what a dickie is? Come on.
No, a dickie is like turtleneck thing that you wear under a sweater.
I heard dick beef, and I'm just like, what?
I prefer an ascot.
Don't you remember Family Vacation?
I believe that's on Urban Dictionary.
Please, kids, don't go to Urban Dictionary.
What is the next
one? Really, don't go to dick beef.
Andrew's running out of time.
All right, so anyway, let's move on.
Tight schedule.
There was a movie that happened several months ago.
It certainly did.
I don't know if you guys heard about it.
Something happened.
It kind of went into a theater, a bunch of them, and
it went into one theater.
Well, there was
fuck this, but we paid money and saw it anyway. So
there was Isaac's movie.
Let's run on that. What? That? When? Isaac, you do a thing?
I do a thing.
No. Actually, let's talk about that first, because that's much more pleasant to talk about. Who's seen the doc? Raise your hands.
Oh, I don't see anybody. Video.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is where I become history's greatest monster.
You are such not my friend anymore.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so I did buy Isaac's documentary. I did buy it. It is sitting on my entertainment stand in my living room. I haven't had a chance to watch it.
Pixar, it's not true. Pixar, it's not true.
So just so anybody listening can get caught up, Isaac, he was, he was doing this documentary, which is out on DVD now, and it's also on, like, Amazon Instant Video. It's on Canadian Netflix. It's on torrent sites if you're a dirty, dirty criminal. it's called Turtle Power, and it basically goes over the 30 years of Turtles up to the point that it came out, which was several months ago. So, yeah, still 30 years of Turtles. And you get some really cool interviews. You get all kinds of stuff that, like, you've never seen before in terms of, like, developing the toys and everything. Video that you didn't even know existed until this guy dug it out of someone's basement somewhere and, like, put it all together for us with hours and hours of work.
It sounds like you're reading, like, my forum posts when I was trying to, like, hype it, going, guys, no, but really? No, but really? It really has stuff you haven't seen before. Then nobody cared.
Right? No. Like, I remember, because, like, you were like, I'm going to do a turtle doc, and I'm like, I'm not going to get into that shit.
Isaac, I've been meaning to ask this.
Okay.
Isaac, what you had said, there was going to be some stuff no one had, there was going to be information people didn't know about before. What was that?
The face in the sewer.
By the documentary.
By the documentary. It was mostly the toy stuff and some of the cut scenes from the movie. And the reason why I knew nobody knew the elements that were in the toy stuff was because that box of designs and the footage that Peter took of that had never, ever been seen by anybody. So I knew, like, so, okay, nobody knew that the sewer playset was going to have a face in it.
World
like
premiere. Yeah.
Everybody who's listening right now, please go out and buy that. It's not expensive, and it's fun to watch. I've watched
on eBay if you have to.
Just get it. Jeez. God.
So yeah, don't be like me. Learn from my mistakes. Do not be history's greatest monster.
Don't be Isaac's friend. Be his customer.
So you're not buying it from me. You're buying it from Paramount. But okay, so thank you for all those kind words, but I'm ready for this. What are the beefs?
There's no Blu-ray version. I have to watch it on HD via digital.
It's not on American Netflix.
I have a beef.
You know what I would say? I would say like more about the comics and less about the cartoon and blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah.
That's what I was going to say.
Volume really 3, so on.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to have heard some more on the Archie stuff. That was the Archie comics was my favorite growing up, and that's just there was just so much in that, but, you know, I would especially like to have heard about the Mutanimals, and... Yeah, no one ever gives a shit about those characters.
Well, apparently they do. They're back in IDW and they're back in, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently they do. So.
Yeah.
Someone cares.
Right?
To
be honest, you pretty much touch base on like all the stuff I give a crap about. Like really the only thing you could have done was do something about the Ninja Turtles arcade game, and that's pretty much unreasonable to ask for. Mm. Hey, Isaac, go learn Japanese. So, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, you pretty much, on all the major things, I'm good to go. And now that they mention it, the comics thing would have been cool.
The number one comment that we get in any form is either really negative or it buried within most of the positive reviews is the fact that we pretty much end the history in about 91 because the film really focuses on the firsts of everything, right? Mm-hmm. So it focuses on like all of the firsts of all of the elements and then touches on the other things. And really the simple long and short of it is A, there was some access issues when it came to the newest stuff because when we were producing it, this was before Nickelodeon's cartoon was out. It was before IDW was really going strong. So we had shot a whole section on IDW, but there was also a whole section on the Four Kids series we shot with them when they were still in production at the end of it. But the problem was is that when you're delivering an hour and a half, you know, a 96-minute movie, and you have to stay within that, the moment we put in the sections where if we made the Archie series longer, or we put in the Four Kids series, it felt like you'd had this big crescendo with the first movie, and then like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then everybody fell asleep, even if they were huge fans. It was
break the narrative. Yeah,
yeah, it ruins the narrative. Yeah, down, and then you could wrap out. Yeah, you wrap out the Kevin and Peter story nicely, and stuff like that. And then we've got all this content that we're going. Okay, if anybody says go, we'll shoot more, and then we have this stuff. We can just kind of pick up where we left off and do a second film. I'm sure it'll see the light of day in some way, shape, or form someday. But
would have been neat to see the contrast in the fandom too. That would have been neat.
Yeah,
yeah. The fandom was an interesting thing because we initially thought that this was going to be a fan film. Like we thought that's all we were going to shoot is fan interviews. It snowballed and became this thing where we were shooting, we had to focus on, okay, we have access to all these people. We've got the voice cast. We've got these people. Let's focus on them. And then every time we got fan interviews, we realized that you'd have to shoot 100 interviews to get like 3 varying opinions because everybody says the exact same thing.
Right? Isaac, you know what would be a cute idea? Like you could also show how the first generation fans are like passing on this stuff to
yeah.
the newer generation. Like I have my little
Yeah, which is what we try to do, and we try to do that in kind of the denouement of the film or the end of the film when you have like the little boy who's playing with the turtles, and if you look closely, he's playing with Nickelodeon turtles and the original turtles and the four kids turtles all at the same time. So if you look really close, he's my nephew, and he we just bought him stuff for Christmas. He loved it, so he just. Yeah. I exploited
you're filming day. Him, and then you're like, cut, cut, cut. That's not how it happened in Turtles Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's not how Vanilla Ice danced in that scene.
And my father-in-law was, like, stepping on me because I was lying on the floor trying to get good angles of this kid playing without him noticing that I was there. Anyway.
Here's what everyone's probably wondering. So what are the, you know, it's been some time now since it's been released. How's it looking on any potential for a follow-up or a spin-off or...
That'd be nice.
Anything.
It's so hard to say because I don't even know what I legally can say, but it's like, it's also like when you get inside these type of scenarios, like Hollywood is such an enormous machine and Hollywood focuses on what's in front of it for in a very short window of time, right? So they don't go, okay, we want this thing ready for then as much as you think they would. They're just kind of like, okay, where's that thing? Is it done yet? Or is it done now and we didn't even know they wanted it? You know what I mean? Like, we have no... Right now, I don't know. I don't see anything.
Thing I sent you?
What about, say, about the time the sequel starts gaining steam and, you know, marketing?
We all I can really say is we are pushing as hard as we can. If there's anything that can be done that would help, would be like the demand from fans. And I don't know how you voice that, whether it's you plague the crap out of the poor Facebook guy that runs our Facebook page or whatever. Like, you know, if there's a demand that people are saying they want something, then it's a lot easier for us to convince those who make those decisions to do it.
I just generally bug you personally, but.
It doesn't help.
so wait, and so building on that, does this mean that you guys are still collecting stuff, or would you be waiting for a call from above before you would start? Okay,
not actively, only because we did have a lot. We have a lot of stuff that is collected that isn't in the movie, obviously, but it's because we're always doing. Well, we did the first one, and we're doing Conan similar. That we're paying for this out of our own pockets, so it's a lot of time and effort and travel and also our sweat equity in sense that we're working our asses off ourselves to do these things. So it's like we're being a little bit more cautious whereas we went in we started Turtles before Peter we started Turtle Duck before Peter sold it, right?
I remember you guys. That's where I met. I met you at the New York Comic Con.
Yeah,
the first time you guys were there filming.
February 2009, was that the first time?
Yeah, wow. It was 2009.
Holy crap.
You've known me forever.
That's the beginning of it all. There's actually a really funny four-part series on Vimeo of us doing the film. It's the whole behind the scenes of us doing it. It's like four half-hour episodes that was on like some local TV channel back in Canada. It's pretty funny. You can just I think I linked it on the Technodrome.
Oh, okay, I'm going to have to go looking for that, because that I need to see.
The fourth episode is literally just our Comic-Con panel with Kevin. It is, you know, if you want to sit through that, fine. But the first three are, like, how we made it, which is kind of funny. There's really good footage of me running like a superhero down a desert highway because I didn't want anything to jiggle. That's really enticing, right? Like, you want to go see that now, right?
I kind of do,
it
actually.
Will it jiggle? I want to see it jiggle. So in addition to that documentary that you should go buy, if you're listening to this, go buy it now. Yes. This is not a
and actually watch it when you buy it.
That too. Watch it, and then demand more, because we're the marketing machine.
But don't demand it to me.
right. That was my mistake. I demanded it to him personally. And then when he said no, I said that I was going to break into his house and bring pizza. But being more reasonable, go bug the Facebook group guy for the turtle doc.
Poor fucker.
You'd have to find Canada.
Find Canada. Bug them. stand at the border and be like, we want more turtle duck.
Blame Canada.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, but didn't you say you're on the West Coast?
I am.
Yeah, how much do you want to bet that he goes to, like, the West Coast border and he tries to go into, like, Vancouver, and then they're like, yeah, Ontario's on the other side of the country, so you might want to go there first. That happens every day,
P.S.
Wait, is this the Canadian border? I just want to make sure I don't enter French Canada.
Go back to your French Canadian fries.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So, anyway, in any case, so around the same time, Paramount seemed to put out this other thing that maybe we went and saw in some theaters. Maybe
I like to say they dropped it last week.
I gotta ask this, because earlier you made this comment. I don't know if it was when Andrew was recording or not, but you made this comment to say that I kept telling everybody, "Don't worry, it's gonna be awesome." As if I knew anything about it, other than I think I saw some character designs. But I mean, are you mad at me now? Did I disappoint you?
No, actually, liar? I think what happened.
Deceiver, actually, liar, defiler.
I think I was actually channeling my inner Kevin Eastman when I was saying that. not my
Kevin
inner
Eastman, such an angry person.
Like, oh, next mutation is going to be gritty.
No, Kevin Eastman, his general public speaking goes like this: "Don't worry, guys, it's going to be cool. Trust me. No, it's going to be cool. Watch, it's going to be awesome." That's generally when Kevin Eastman gets involved and people are scared. That's what he says.
He was like, trust me, the sequel to Highlander is going to be great.
One of them was.
Yeah,
one of them was.
Positive.
No, so but now I will say, I guess I'll jump into it first. The designs for the turtles were the thing that you literally were talking about, being like, actually, they're not really all that horrible. You guys need to shut up. You know, it's pretty much how it's going. Maybe in a much nicer, more Canadian way.
I
translated that into LA speak for you, which is, you know, shut up. It's cool.
Yeah, I was cleaning the peel, and then I saw these turtles. Nice kill. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like that, exactly.
I have a screenshot because, like, one of my favorite parts was in the one of my favorite parts of that movie was the snowbank scene where they're sliding down on the snowbank with the foot and shit, and like you see Leo's kind of half asleep because he's been stunned to death, and all of a sudden, he just wakes up, Cliff! And I took a screenshot, and I realized, oh my god, Leo looks like a horse.
It's the teeth. So having heard me say, don't worry, designs aren't that bad, what did you think of the designs?
I honestly kind of forgot about them, once I'd been, watching the movie for a little bit. Like, it was just kind of like, yeah, they're still really huge, but that doesn't really affect the clothing they're wearing.
Yeah.
You know? So, it wasn't really something, really, that was not the thing. If there was anything to take me out of the movie, that was not the thing. And I could probably come back to that thing later since we're talking about the designs. It's not like the worst thing that's ever happened to the turtles, and it's a far cry from those other designs that we saw where they barely looked like turtles and they're all holding like halo guns and stuff.
I mean, the designs were okay, I mean, as far as the look of them, but yeah, too big and too much accessories and all the jingly jangly stuff, like the chains on Michael, like your ninjas. Like, what if you have to sneak into a room and claw your way up a wall and like hide in the shadows? Like all the bad guys we hear is like clang clang, jingle jangle. Like what the fuck is this?
Andrew, you take the necklace off before you go and ninja out, okay?
But they're not.
Like, it's simple. It's simple.
It's on the whole damn time. He has it on the whole damn movie, so...
I was just
sneakiness is
he's
got to
wear it before he ninja wraps.
Go ahead,
you're bulletproof.
No, I thought the designs themselves, the facial motion cap was... I want a full disclosure. I went into this movie with an extra large icy and a fifth of vodka. And
nice.
I
had one of those two things, and you'll never believe which one.
Oh, it was totally the icy, right?
Yeah.
I know you the way I know you. It was totally the icy.
Yeah.
I found the designs to be too busy. There was way too much stuff going on. Leonardo, I thought, looked the best, facial wise, although I did kind of like Raph's face. Mikey, it was No, it was not. It was like the bastard child of Shrek and Alfred E. Newman. Yeah. And I know I'm nowhere near the first person to make that comparison. I think if they had just kind of, I know the rule is to show and not tell, but I think there could have been an easier way to show, hey, they're not the same guy, little less flamboyantly than the way those designs.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'd almost prefer the letters on the belts aside from this.
So let's all for a moment imagine that we're between, I know it's not hard because I'm always living in this moment. If we're a today's kid between 5 and 10, like I took my 6-year-old nephew to this and he flippin' loved it.
Here's my problem with that mentality though. That kind of lives in the idea that kids will only like shit. That kids will only like terrible things, that kids don't deserve quality stuff. And I disagree. I think it could have been better. I think it, and it could have been better. It wasn't
on,
better.
On the flip the side fact of that, kids the kids liked don't it. Necessarily have the preconceived notion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I wouldn't say, I wouldn't necessarily put this in the category of like, they are taking in something that's complete shit. That's more in the story than in the design, right? Because design is subjective, right? It's modern. It's whatever. They're trying to differentiate. They're trying to do something cool and big and hip.
Extreme 90s, what?
Right. But I mean, you know, and we know that this of any franchise has been dicked with in its origin, in its look, and everything in every iteration more than I would say any other franchise that has ever, like what other franchise takes the origin of its story and has completely different thing in the comic than in the movie, than in the cartoon. Like, you know, we don't pretend like Bruce Wayne's parents actually lived in any iteration, you know, unless
you'd be surprised with how many alternate universes.
Fred
Wolf set the precedent and it all kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And Fred Wolf was doing a lot of snowballing there.
To be fair, I mean, this, like almost every other fandom and even the criticism of the doc is sort of like this, it's not what I wanted it to be going into it, so thus it is horrible. And it's like, that is your own expectation, right?
But here's the thing that no one's really talking about, but they probably don't know about. I mean, guys like us will know about it because we're all up into things, but this movie was a big victim of its own post-production. Like, they literally, like, reshot large portions of the movie, cut parts of the movie, and that changed who Shredder was.
And then they also recast people, which kind of makes me, wonder how much of a... I mean, can you imagine trying to do ADR for that particular movie? Oh, I just... Yeah,
that's one of the things you're talking about. Like earlier, when I said it took me out of the movie, like I knew going into it. You know, I like all of us, we've pretty much been following it since it was something where you know Peter Laird was trying to do Batman Begins, but with turtles, all the way to you know Transformer Turtles, all the way to this. And you know, the big thing that probably took me out of the movie were some of the very last minute changes that got published regarding, you know, like the Shredder and all that stuff. And I'm just kind of like, it would have been worse, but it would have flowed better if they'd have just fucking left that part alone, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like if they had have said, okay, Eric Sachs, this white guy, is going to be Shredder. And it's like, you know what? Like, the movie may have made more sense.
It actually would have made more sense. I wouldn't say it'd be a better
nice
movie.
Japanese room but here, and I'm
in and of itself, it would have made more sense. But but as it is now, he has like no motivation. It's like I'm a rich guy, and I want to be richer. That's about as deep as it goes.
Daddy. That's the American dream, Andrew. Stop dicking with it.
that part took me out of it. But you know, I've got some stuff regarding that. About the sequel, when we get to that in a few minutes. The story, it had to do with, you know, just some origin crap being messed with in a way that, like, isn't, you know, my turtles that I grew up with, you know.
There's no basic things like motivation and stuff. Like, why does Splinter even, why does he even have a beef with Shredder in this? There's nothing there.
Well, like you say, I feel
because
like
when
was...
the evil Shredder attacks, these turtle boys don't cut him no slack. That's all the motivation
because
you
need. Because you want to dine on turtle soup.
Wow. When you talk about motivation, the biggest issue in motivation in that whole movie is when Raph does, albeit a well-acted moment at the end where they're falling down and God knows how they actually survived that moment. I have no idea.
Right.
But when he's doing this whole, like, I really am hard on you guys because I love you. And it was actually, I would say, not badly acted and motion cap and put in this thing and I'm buying it. But the whole time I'm buying it because I know that Raph throughout history is being a dick. In that movie, when was he a dick?
I have a completely different problem with the scene. My problem with the scene was they could have had that speech done by the time they fell from orbit.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. That was an insanely long speech. But other than suspend disbelief when it comes to actual, like, physics, but it's like, beat up my brothers!
That's what that speech should have sounded like.
You want to talk about motivation, though. The biggest problem motivation was my own to go to the damn theater and see it, but I did watch it with my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, and she enjoyed it. I think her only comment that was substantial was, it was very violent. That was about it, really.
Well, really?
She enjoyed it.
Then again, I played Mortal Kombat at 5, so what do I know about violence?
See, I was worried that when Shredder kicks Splinter's ass, spoiler alert, does it work when you say it after the thing? No. I was worried that my nephew was gonna get freaked out. So I had actually watched it once before I took him, and then it was like, yeah, just so you know, because he's a very sensitive little guy, and I didn't really want him to get freaked out. So it's like, just so you know, Splinter's gonna get pretty messed up, but don't worry, he's gonna be okay at the end of the movie. So I kind of ruined that part, but who cares? He's 5. He's not gonna. Oh, you ruined the ending.
He's gonna be in therapy for the life. Now.
Sometimes kids need to see Bambi's mom die.
Fair enough, but Bambi's mom dying off screen and getting the emotional impact is a whole lot different than Bambi's mom getting slaughtered in front of the camera. Like
sequel time, Disney.
You know what I mean? Like that. But that's what they're doing now because God forbid we don't see something. Like
there's this whole other cut of Bambi out there somewhere where the hunter takes Bambi's mom back to his backyard and strings her up and fucking skins her and all that shit.
Bambi's watching from the
boat. And then kids should see this.
From like where I originally came from, like in Indiana, are just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I saw my neighbor do that the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Like all the kids from like where I live right now are just kind of like, oh my god, that's how
the hunter. The hunter sees it, ties Bambi up, forces him to eat his mother.
Yeah, no, hey, don't get me wrong. I'm all for subjecting children to sad things in life. Like that's totally all kids should watch. What the heck is it called? The Littlefoot movie, the first one, Land Before Time. That's a sad movie.
I get it. I dress up as the Shredder and I go to amusement parks and I smack ice cream out of children's hands and flip them off while laughing.
I thought you were gonna say you smack children.
Because that would be awesome.
I just smack children in the face.
Yeah, okay. I dress up as 1980s cartoon Shredder and I put on my Uncle Phil voice. And I'm just kind of like,
Josh, if you get video of you actually doing this, I will pay for your bail.
I'll go to Disneyland, dress up as the Shredder, and start knocking snacks out of kids' hands.
Total side note that's very relevant is when we were doing Pat Fraley's interview for the film, like, there's all these awesome little moments that aren't in there. And he said, like, back when they would do all those phone-ins, where they would phone in, like, hospitals and six kids' hospitals and stuff as a group, and all the different voices for all the different cartoons would be around. So he would be on there doing Krang, and he was, like, total licensed to be a complete asshole to these kids. So he'd be like, what's your name? Who cares? Who's the next kid?
And I'm dying from cancer. Why?
Exactly. But it's like, nah, yeah, Krang just told me off, but I'm dying. I feel so happy.
My dream is complete.
No, so anyway, I don't want to really rush us along, but, you know, Andrew doesn't have a ton of time, so I want to kind of bump into the sequel now that some information about that has actually hit, like, you know, the wider public and not just, like,
I want to know
like,
it's being shot in Boston right now.
So.
If it's being shown in Boston.
It's not. Or is it
is that what they're saying?
No.
Karen, why aren't you not on the front lines of this?
Only you can stop it.
Reason, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Not to give news, but to stop it.
No, I haven't heard that they were filming anything here.
Am I crazy, or is it like Am I totally crazy?
I know they're doing some.
Is it Chicago? Am I crazy? Is it Chicago?
Upstate New York. I know they're doing an Avengers thing here. They've turned Gillette Stadium into Stark Industries. But that's about all. Yeah, I didn't know.
Chicago or Boston. Could be Buffalo. I don't know. It's up there somewhere.
It is Buffalo. It's upstate New York. Yeah, they're filming in upstate New York.
Oh, see, I'm totally wrong.
I feel like I've read they're not just shooting in New York. I think some parts of Canada and possibly even Boston. I think I may have read that. But
really? Yeah. All right, I'm going to go looking for this.
They're shooting in...
Well, it shouldn't be hard to miss. There's only one road in Canada. So.
Exactly.
In any case, what we know about the movie so far, let's summarize. I think we know that there's two big vehicles, an even bigger turtle van, some kind of speeder thing that they theorize is probably Bebop and Rocksteady's or some horrible thing like that. And
Baxter's... someone said to me at work, someone who's kind of a turtle fan was all like, that looks like the Neutrino vehicle. I got season one of that on DVD, and that shit looks like...
Oh, God.
It's pretty much what he told me.
And they've recast Baxter, and they recast Shredder with a younger guy, right, which is interesting because the original Shredder in the first new movie is supposed to be, you know, a father to the Eric Sachs character, who's already kind of old, and that's interesting.
So there's a twist.
Ooh!
That could be a mutant, it could be a new body, it could be anything, or that could be a Roku Nagi in the first one, who knows? It could be
a number of terrible things.
What else do we know?
Well, what if Shredder's immortal or some shit like that?
Oh, they could draw from IDW or anything.
Yeah,
the star of Arrow, plays some guy named Arrow. I don't know what that is.
Oliver Queen.
Right, Oliver who, like, DC what. He's supposed to be playing Casey Jones.
There's actual set photos today I saw of him with the...
Yeah, he's with the hot
suit. You know what would be funny?
He's got short hair.
I just thought of this. You know what would have been so cool and... Don't bring up that goddamn cricket while I'm talking. I mean, that is fucking rude. Okay, so I'm gonna shove that thing up someone's nose.
You started snoring. You started snoring when I started talking about my country.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, getting back to Casey Jones. Get back to Casey Jones.
Sorry.
So you know how the guy that plays Raphael was Aquaman on Smallville? So you know what would have been kind of cool is if they had gotten Justin Hartley, who was Green Arrow on that show, to be Casey. That would have been so cool.
I just thought of that reference.
You have the most amazing ability to make these connections that are really deep. It's awesome.
I gotta say, Arrow's Green Arrow would probably be more fitting for Casey Jones than Smallville's Arrow.
I don't know anything about that man's acting except that I want to climb him like Everest.
Wait, which one?
He has face paint and a hood, and he talks like Batman sometimes. So that's about all I know.
Not Oliver
Queen. All I've seen of Oliver Queen. Actually, I've seen the first couple of episodes. Our he has man pain. he's shirtless through most of it, and he does this like pull up on a ladder thing.
Salmon ladder.
Impressive. Yeah, it's nice. So, needless to say, I will go to the next movie. And if push comes to shove,
you're there.
I will pay for a ticket. Maybe I'll bring earplugs. Maybe I'll listen to some Barry White and I'll just watch that man act in the car.
This is
Jello shots out.
Proof. It's proof right here. That's how it works. Sex sells.
Sex does sell. I mean, honestly, Michelangelo's face in the last one, like, I just wanted to make out with that.
I don't know, but I bet you a lot of people went to see it because of Megan Fox or whatever.
Oh, yeah, probably. They were probably sad that you couldn't see her tan lines up her shorts. You know?
Didn't have a problem with her. I mean, I said this many times, like, April O'Neil is not Shakespeare. It's like, you put someone that can reasonably act and it's fine.
Pretty much.
You know what?
Okay, in her defense...
Yes, go ahead.
In her defense, she really didn't have a whole lot to act with. No. Can we talk about how terrible both the script and the story were? I mean, she was doing the best she could.
But let's be honest. We're talking like the guys who... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. What other movie did those guys write? Because they actually wrote some good movies. But it's like, it's just too many cooks in the kitchen. That's all that is. It's just the way that Hollywood built right now.
The important part to remember and... You know, I've said this as well in the past also, is, you know, the human the human heart to the Turtles is no longer beating. It's gone. I mean, half of it left when Kevin sold out his half, and the other half is gone when Peter cashed out as well. I'm not blaming them, but I mean, it is what it is. Now there is no human heart. It's a board of executives that are, you know, relying on focus groups and, you know, how can we recreate lightning in a bottle and so on.
This is what I don't understand, though. The whole reason why the first Batman movie and the first Iron Man movie were so good is because they had a director with a vision, and they had their idea, and they stuck with it. And those movies made money. Joss Whedon's Avengers, they printed their own money. I don't understand why Hollywood doesn't...
They just need to let someone do that.
Yes, and if there was one thing, at least that movie, it probably wouldn't have been much better, but at least it would have been coherent.
To me, the saddest part is, like, you know, even if there was a director that they would probably allow that kind of, you know, creative control, their vision that they would bring to the table would probably be like, oh, yeah, I totally, like, played with the turtle van and the Technodrome and all that cowabunga and pizza throwers and stuff like that. They're kind of coming to light, particularly in the sequel.
The focus group actually went a little more like this. It was like, okay, now that you've watched this action scene, how much Orange Crush are you going to buy when you leave this room?
Exactly, yeah. Now,
Orange Crush.
Now, Andrew, now that said, you could totally make the same statement about, and maybe you would, because maybe you don't like the Nickelodeon show, but like Ciro Nelli he's the quintessential fan doing an amazing job bringing it to a new world.
And Brandon,
right?
Absolutely. No, I agree. I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but before I go, the Nickelodeon show, I actually enjoy it. I'm all caught up on it. My daughter loves it. It's a ritual we watch together. And it's not the Turtles to me, but that's okay because it's not for me. It's funny. It's amusing. I'm highly entertained. I rarely am not with it.
Yeah.
All right. Before you run off, Andrew, do you have anything to say regarding the last couple of years of IDW comics? Maybe you can kind of lead us into that. Maybe Colton can plug his ears. Let's see. You were the one, right?
Sadly, I'm a little behind on that, so it's probably best you guys keep talking about IDW and Nick, and I'll bow out at this point.
Yeah. I was about to say.
Well, it was good to have you, Andrew. We'll get back to you in just a second, Jeff. It was good to have you, as always. You're a bit more, in the way of organizing this stuff than I am. I'm more of a figurehead at this point. And so, yeah, definitely. Thanks for being on.
No problem, man. It's been fun.
It's been
later.
Good night.
Okie dokie. Anyway, Jeff, you were about ready to say something.
Yeah, I kind of have the same thing with my niece and nephew when we watch Turtles. We've been watching most of season 3 together. There was like one episode actually scared my niece. She did not like the episode with April's mom because it was way too scary for her.
It was creepy. Oh, it was very creepy.
Oh my god, the level of body horror that the censors let that show get away with.
Continually
astounds me.
You have me intrigued.
Yeah. But then on the opposite side of the spectrum, there's like the Bigfoot episode, which is just so schmaltzy and cute. And like, our favorite part is when, right in the beginning, when Raph is like, okay, you guys are going into the woods. I'll give you an hour. If I catch it, you got to clean up the chicken coop. And Mikey goes, oh man, that thing has spiders so big, they play the banjo. And again, it shows that banjo. I'm like, every time we see that, my nephew and niece and I just crack up.
Right. Yeah. No. Like that's pretty interesting. Sorry, Isaac. You were
going to say that. No, I was just going to say the they're doing a good job with those filler episodes. But as much as those are, they've got some good moments. Like I got to admit, those are the ones where I lost a lot of faith in the show. But that's the same with me and like X-Files. I would skip the Monster of the Week episodes and I would go right back to the chronological episodes or the episodic.
I was at the Gallery Nucleus in L.A. last fall when they did the Ninja Turtles exhibit, and on opening night, Ciro and Brandon, a bunch of other people were there, and I talked to them, and I saw stuff for upcoming stuff, like designs on the walls and all that, and really, like, those, what you're saying, like, the filler episodes, like, yeah, they do really feel like filler, but really what kind of kept me, in it, every time a new episode would come out is the fact that I knew, like, sooner or later they were going to get around to that stuff we talked about at the exhibit, the stuff that they gave me like a little hint of, and it would have been nice if maybe those hints would have been like kind of dropped in the episodes as well.
Well, I've heard Ciro say that he's got a definitive end for for the series. He knows how it's going to end, which is going to be super interesting to see how he does it for sure.
You know,
go ahead.
You know what? I have noticed the whole time, they've never actually given the turtles their proper title. They're always like in the Muckman episode they just did, they're referred to as Turtle Men. You know, in some episodes they say Ninja Turtles, but they never say Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I'm thinking it's kind of like with Smallville when Clark, you know, the whole, you know, Clark was never called Superman that series till the very end. So I wonder if that's going to be like a running thing with that.
I think it's just because that title's too long to say in the average conversation.
Yeah. That's true.
I was actually, more along those lines also, being all like, well, you know, if I saw some turtle dudes running around, I'd be like, oh my god, there's some guys dressed as turtle dudes. Like that.
I wouldn't think they were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Well, whoa. That's not what Peter Laird said when he originally came up with the first part of the title. Because I can quote you that part where he says, I added Teenage Mutant to the name because it kind of had that rhythm to it.
They played it rolled different.
That was in the trailer for the DVD of the movie.
Which I also haven't seen. No, I'm just kidding.
I was watching
my God, have you been living under a rock? Do we even like Ninja Turtles? Like, this is the thing.
Karen,
I don't
you
understand
live in Canada?
How you can like Ninja Turtles and not have watched that documentary. I'm sorry. That's totally self-serving and kind of a prick thing to say. But it's kind of like, okay, what?
I'm going to crawl under my desk and die now.
Yeah.
Aww. Okay, no, seriously, the cartoon. I love the Nicktoon. When it's good, it's some of the best stuff I've seen. The animation is always solid. The voice acting is always solid. But, I moved in September, which I suppose I maybe could have mentioned with the, hey, what have you been up to? And when we moved, we just didn't get a cable package. So
okay, two things. One, that's probably because part of the show is animated in Canada, so thank you. And two, you watch that cartoon, but you never watch the doc? Sorry, I had to.
Let it go.
Let it go.
But I just find like I find a lot of the plot of the episodes that I've seen of the most recent season to be, they're really just, it's uneven. The writing is uneven. It's almost like he had firm grasp of what was going on in the first season, and then that committee came back in.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff that he wants to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I was at the New York Comic Con panel this last year where they showed like Napoleon Bonafrog. They showed us pictures of him. They showed us the Dream Beavers. I have never been so excited. The Dream Beavers were fantastic. You know, there are a bunch of little stuff. I'm kind of, you know, what was the last episode I saw was Speed Demon, which was interesting because I remember that Mirage book and I remember being like, what the hell am I reading? And
Speed
I thought
Demon,
they did a good job with it.
Wheels.
Well, yes. you know, like that comes like straight from Ryan Brown, which is actually kind of cool to see. It's like Ryan Brown because he was such a big fan of what the
Rat
heck is
Think.
That? Rat Think, yeah. And so like to see that translate two or three layers down or levels down is pretty awesome for sure. I'm speculating that he's moving fast because maybe he knows he has less seasons to do what he wants than he actually needs. You know what I mean? Is it slowing down in terms of popularity? Like, Walmart still has huge sections of their toy aisles, if they even have toy aisles anymore.
Walmart will always have toy aisles.
Well, very much smaller than they used to be. But, like, is it, like, I still see kids running around with Turtles shirts on right now. Like, is it still, it just won an Emmy, didn't it? Or something?
Yeah, it won a Daytime Emmy. I was just in Target, and they have Turtle shirts in the girl section.
Yeah.
I don't think the Monster of the Week episodes that did like the first like six or whatever weeks of the season were necessarily like the show slowing down or committees getting involved or anything, but more had to do with the fact that they really wanted us to feel like they were out in those woods for a really long time and disconnected from everything for a really long time. So when we came back, when they went back to New York, you know, we would be just as shocked as they were. I think it's also what they were trying to go for.
From a financial implication as well, like, we all know that maybe some people don't realize that, but, like, when it comes to doing a digital cartoon, a CG cartoon, if you build a set, if you build a tree, you better use the crap out of that tree, because if you don't, it's so expensive to ever see it once, right?
Well, that's why we didn't get any people in New York, right? Yeah, because exactly. The people were just too expensive to animate.
Yeah, and you had a few streets in New York, and that's all. And if you wanted a new location, a new thing, a new prop in any episode, super expensive. So I can totally see them going, okay, we built this whole, you know, upper state New York / you know, Massachusetts farm. We better use it in as many episodes and get our money worth out of it, right?
That's okay. Probably it also. I totally forgot about that aspect. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I could see them going, okay, let's do a Nightmare on Elm Street, or not a Nightmare, sorry, a Friday the 13th spoof and blah, 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 like, which was actually, I was surprised. That one was actually legit kind of creepy, and as, like, you know, somewhat of a horror fan, I was like, this is pretty funny. This is pretty awesome.
I kind of dig a lot of that. The thing I don't like about the Monster of the Week is that it tends to miss the character building moments. Like, it's almost like a lot of stuff, with the exception of Leonardo being completely different now.
Yeah.
In a chain, don't get me wrong, I love Seth Green and I love Robot Chicken. I do not think he's working. For me, he's not working as Leonardo.
No,
I would love to definitively know, even off the record, just for my own peace of mind, why Jason Biggs is gone.
Wasn't it the Twitter thing?
Was it the Twitter? Because see, that just seems stupid. Like, it really does seem legitimately stupid.
Well, there could have been something else, for sure, but what difference does it make if you know?
Maybe he didn't get along with the others.
You know, going back a little bit on the whole Monster Week thing, that's kind of a thing that really has to be for a person, because some people can enjoy it, some people can't. I mean, yeah. I grew up on so many years of Power Rangers. Monster of the Week, I bleed Monster of the Week. I've seen so much of it.
No, it's true. Like, procedurals or whatever, there's a place for that. For sure, like, there's totally an audience that, of course, they want syndication. Like, He-Man was the same. Like, most of those old cartoons, you couldn't serialize them because they want, like, most of the Turtles was not serialable. It was all procedural because it was like, you know, you have to be able to mix up the order. Oh, totally side note, I just remember this in the Monster of the Week episodes, and they're awesome little Easter eggs. My roommate in college is a huge horror and a big fan of Halloween, and who's this guy that made Halloween? I'm going to totally draw a blank right now.
Hmm. Google is your friend, people.
I don't know if anybody remembers Halloween 3, where...
Yeah, oh, I know what you're talking about.
Michael Myers wasn't in it, and there was that silly commercial with the masks, where the orange pumpkin. Raph is watching a TV in the episode, and that's playing on it.
Yeah,
and it's so weird because it's the most obscure Easter egg where it's like, okay, if you liked Halloween, you may have saw the third installment, which didn't have Michael Myers in it, and it's super weird.
It was underappreciated, I'll say that.
It's super underappreciated, and it's like that really, really, really weird, like, culty thing about that TV graphic, and it's on a TV in the Ninja Turtles episode. I literally texted my buddy Ryan, I'm like, oh my god. This has just happened.
I love that show is made by fanboys. Makes me say, you had the kind of the same thing in the Four Kids cartoon. Like, you watched it and you could tell, or maybe it's just because I'm at the age now where all of the people doing the creative stuff are just my age and I just happen to hit that demographic sweet spot. But, like, I really love the fact that you can watch it and tell not only are people having the time of their lives making it. Like, it's clear that the people who make it love what they're doing, but also that they're able to do something.
You can see that in other franchises too, or in other aspects of the same franchise in terms of, like, toys or clothing or whatever. Like, going into, you know, Dragon Ball, for example, when I was, you know, like 15 years ago, you know, there was nowhere where you could buy an orange shirt that had the kanji in the right places as the characters who wear it. and, you know, buy that. And nowadays it's so easy to find. And then again, like the people who acted in Dragon Ball Z in the English version, when they walk into Funimation offices, you know, the other actors that are there recording something that day are all like, oh my God, I used to watch you on TV and now I'm dubbing anime. Ah, you know, that sort of thing.
And they go, like an anime.
I get to scream for 30 cents a line, you know.
Thanks for that.
You know, that sort of thing. So
Super Saiyan Goku.
I've noticed the same thing, you know, and when it comes to, you know, and you brought it up when it comes to Turtles and all that stuff, that a lot of the cool stuff that we're getting is the stuff we wished we would have had as kids, and now we're old enough to make it happen.
You know, it's kind of funny. Most people in America wouldn't even know this, but Dragon Ball started the same year in comic form as Ninja Turtles did.
Dragon Ball to Japan was like Ninja Turtles to like the U.S. and Canada and whatnot.
Maybe
in terms
better
of like them. In terms of like around like the same years of popularity and whatnot.
You know, to be absolutely honest, I never. You're totally gonna kill me. You're never gonna talk to me again. I never got into Dragon Ball. I couldn't do it.
I've just
Dragon
watched
Ball
like 15
is a
years.
Really long series, 15, actually. So you know, like I could actually see that happening. You know, from Dragon Ball, like, I don't get into anything else that's long running. Like, someone's like, hey, read One Piece. Hey, read this. Hey, read that. And I'm just kind of like, no.
Star Adventure, that's 100 and something volumes long, 110, 111 at this point.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, no, I'm not gonna. I already read that once, and it was called Dragon Ball.
Actually, JoJo came out the same time as Dragon Ball.
Just every time I remember flipping to it when I was like 11 or 12, and it would be like they're still standing still across the field from each other.
That's the animation company's fault. They had to have a lot of filler because, you know, weekly comics.
Yeah, they're just like,
hey, have you guys ever watched Epic Rap Battles on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see the Superman versus Goku one?
Yes.
Because the best line is in that fight because Goku goes, how many times are they going to rewrite your story?
Yeah, no, they did have a Ninja Turtles one of those kind of.
Yeah, where they were arguing with their namesakes.
Yeah, Turtles versus Artists, which was like the season finale for that season, which really wasn't the best episode. The one they did with Bill Nye versus like Isaac Newton or whatever, that one was
with Weird Al
as
Isaac Newton. That was great.
Yeah, that one was better. But yeah, they had a Ninja Turtles one. It was pretty good. The costumes were pretty good also for like a web video.
My favorite.
I think it was just one turtle costume. I don't think they did multiple turtle costumes. They just did the one and blue screened them.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well,
did they blue screen it in the 90s? Because we use green screen now.
Right. Well, turtles are green, so.
Jeff has an actual, really technically good point right there.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, you have to blue screen turtles. Sorry.
Yeah, it's well. That's I think that's part of
because that's kind of what they had. Like I remember when Spider-Man came out, they were talking about it. And, like they used green screen for Spider-Man, blue screen for Green Goblin.
Right. Well, I figure that's probably also aside from mocap. That's probably part of the reason the colors of the mocap suits for the new Turtles movie were the way they were. If they had to do any green screen stuff, you know, they had gray costumes.
So back in the day when they did Predator 1. They couldn't use green screen or blue screen because they were shooting in a green jungle with blue sky background. So
they were screwed.
The Predator was wearing a red leotard for all of its see-through stuff.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
So they did red screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, we only have a green screen for Battle Geek Plus, so we could never do anything technically amazing related to Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Because you have these floating bandanas and eyeballs.
It was the same thing. No, they That'd had they had it at Comic-Con last year for the promo stuff for the movie. They had this thing where it's like, take a picture with the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. And like you get up there, and it's a freaking green screen, and everyone who's showing up is wearing a green Ninja Turtle shirt. And so like by the time I had gotten around to it on like the second day or something that they were doing this, they had pretty much figured it out. So, like, I stood with, like, my back to the camera, and then, like, they took the picture and sort of positioned my head. So it was like I was peeking out from behind one of their shells.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what they had to do. It was just kind of like, here's your head in a poster of the Ninja Turtles. And I was kind of like, cool.
The best one, I was doing this commercial for Hard Rock Hotels, I think, and we had to I had to shoot Barney and a giant Thomas the Tank Engine and Bob the Builder on a green screen stage. And partway through, we realized when we were pulling like rushes while we were shooting, we're pulling a chroma key off of it, is Barney's stomach is chroma key green.
Oh,
so all of a sudden Barney's stomach would just disappear. It was like the beach would show through something to do with the beach. And it was, wait a second, what's wrong with this picture? And all his spots, and nobody, you know, noticed. Anyway, it doesn't matter because he just rotoscope it. But it was funny.
Right. Yeah. No, it was, we don't ever really go as far as to rotoscope anything. Like Ryan comes over and we're setting up the green screen. And he's all like, all right, Josh, don't wear a turtle shirt today.
You know? Yep.
Oh, okay. It's pretty much gotten down to the point now where like, okay, we're filming this week. I'm going to put on my red shirt, my plain red shirt.
Yeah.
So that's why it's as far away from whatever you have to get out of there as possible.
Did we lose Karen or did she fall asleep?
No, I'm here.
He's being respectfully quiet.
I am. I'm listening. I'm learning so much about SFX.
Oh, that's so exciting. So since it's like 12:30 here, what are we saying, guys? Are we wrapping this up at some point or?
Yeah, well,
then we have the after party. Woo!
It would have been cool to kind of go over the IDW stuff, but we have, you know, a couple people here who still need to catch up on all
we
that.
Go over the first year of IDW. I can do that.
I'm kind of excited about one IDW thing I saw today. Faith Erin Hicks is an illustrator that I'm quite fond of, and she's doing a cover. Apparently, IDW is doing a April and Casey road trip.
Right? Yeah. No, I was going to say something about that, but what kept coming to my tongue before I could get it out was Casey and Raph. And I'm like, no, wait. Casey actually does have heterosexual relationships. So
he did in Mirage.
No, well, no, I know.
I know. You know, I really want to see them bring in Gabriel at some point.
Oh, they're never going to do that because that would give us Shadow, and we're never going to get Shadow. Yeah. That is one of the things that pisses me off the most. Is that it would be awesome if Shadow existed anywhere else.
I've read like half of Volume 1 of Mirage.
Wow.
Like they
why
I
are
don't,
you here?
I read all the Eastman and Laird issues, thank you.
He read them just recently in the 5 hardcovers. Like, he just became a fan like 3 days ago.
No, I've been a fan of Turtles since like 91 or whenever the movie came out.
I know. You're the one who approached me being like, hey, want to be on a podcast? I'm like, yeah.
In fact,
you're the host.
In fact, I came to Andrew with the idea to do this show. So thank you.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, I'm still Colton. I'm still in, if you want to do a retrospective of like, go through everything.
I read the first 12 issues of like every comic. So at least that's good there.
We could,
but
if you
want to do episodes like that, I'm in.
I think we need to like catch up a little bit and maybe do like an IDW episode that way because there's a lot to talk about in that 2 years.
I
90 minute Turtles movie and why we hate it because we're old and grumpy farts is one thing.
I simultaneously love and hate IDW for how many Turtles trades they put out.
Oh yeah, no, like I'm
trying to catch up on every Turtles comic ever.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Oh, yeah, no, I get you, dude. Like, most of the, like, the monthlies, like, I buy the monthlies digital and just read them on my phone.
Okay,
because
but
I'm all, like, you know.
None of you have the sickness that I have, which is that if I'm going to collect a comic series, including currently the Conan series, I have to own the original issues, and I have to own all of them.
Oh,
no, I do. No. I've got a list of IDW books. I want a matching set of only the Eastman covers.
Are you going to talk
to
Schwarzenegger?
I have a shopping list of books that I bought because I wanted to follow the story, but
no,
doesn't have the cover that I like.
Well, yeah.
I don't even know.
Shout out to my comic book store, which actually isn't even close to my house, The Dragon in Guelph. The manager there, Amy, and the owner, Jen, those two ladies are awesome because they put my stack aside and they always put the Eastman covers. They're always, like, you know, I swear they're also doing this to sell more books. Like, if they know that I want, like, a Ross Campbell cover, too, they'll set both of them aside for
me. They know you.
so they're right. they know what I'm going to want. So
the only thing I have like is there's that upcoming hardcover from IDW that covers like the first major arc and puts all of the micros in place.
Oh, I want that so bad.
That one, that's my thing. Like, I'm just kind of like, I need to have that book. You know, I don't need to have, cool. like, certain covers of the individual issues or whatever. I don't even need those, really. Like, they just take up space after I read them once. So, like, I just read them on my phone.
Yeah.
Like, I buy them legally, but, like, I read them on my phone.
I love how their first hardcover basically has all of my IDW trades, except for my Secret History of the Foot Clan.
Because
I have, like, the first 12 issues and the first four minis in trade form, and it's just like, here's all that plus an extra mini all in one hardcover. Clear.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for that for a really long time, and they finally, like, got around to it.
It angers me to no end that I don't have a copy of, what is it, 44? Yeah, I don't have issue 44, which, you know, there's spoilers. And this, I can't get a hand on it. It's sold out everywhere. And it's like, well, you can buy a second printing. I'm like, why the F would I want a second printing?
that stuff sold out quick.
My latest Turtles trade is Souls Winter, because I had to get that hardcover.
Ooh, Souls Winter is good stuff. I didn't like it when I first read it because I was, 15 and I just didn't get it, but I really like it a lot.
I read the entirety of Jack Kirby's Fourth World. I like insane, delightful things.
Like before we were really deep into the Turtles film, I read all of the Mirage Universe, and I forget most of it. I gotta go back and reread it. Like the ones that I think I dropped it in the middle and then picked it up again because when they started getting the other artists in, like Souls Winter is okay.
You mean the filler?
Yeah. The Souls Winter is pretty good because what's his, the Zuli's art was crazy cool, but the there was one or two in there that were just super odd cartoony things.
Oh, you mean like that little girl who traveled
the
through time?
Yeah. Dale Evans McGillicuddy. I effing love Dale Evans McGillicuddy.
Oh my god, it's so weird. Now I also...
A bunch of cocaine before they wrote that.
I also have almost all of the Archie series, and I am yet to read maybe past like issue 20. And
I'm missing
like the last three or four, which are like ridiculously expensive.
I might have a couple of them, so if you want, I have dupes.
I will make a list of what I'm missing, yeah. Just because I'm a completionist and I'm weird that way. Like right now, I'm trying to find in single issue copies every single one of the Conan the Barbarian issues, which from 1970 to 1993 there was 275 issues.
Ooh.
So that's
for like a 2 year period. There was only one thing Turtles I got before I got my recent job, and that was volumes 4 and 5 of the Ultimate Collection hardcovers because I had to have City at War.
Right.
If you're gonna make a purchase, that's a good one. Oh my god, I don't even have
that.
Four,
was an expensive birthday, but it was worth it. Just $2. That was my birthday.
Yeah.
I've dropped the ball on getting the big fancy IDW reprints of the Mirage stuff, mostly because I have all of the Mirage with. I'm probably not going to get the one coming out, but I've got them all except for first printing of number one is the only Mirage book I don't have.
Yeah.
Most people don't have that.
Yeah, I know, right? One of these days, I'm going to break into the Smithsonian, like, what the hell is that Nicolas Cage, that awful Nicolas Cage movie where he steals the Declaration of Independence? That's going to be me. I'm going to break in and steal. Yes, National Treasure. That'll be me who wants to join my
heist squad. 3 days after my birthday, Volume 6 of the Ultimate Collection comes out.
Damn.
We all know what to buy you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
or I know what to buy me, and then just be like, haha, I have it.
Well, but I'm with you there, Karen, because I go, do I really want to rebuy books I have in like another printed form? Other than at this point, now I seem to give a shit whether or not I'm physically reading those old copies because now of course I've read all of them. But now I get deeper and deeper into comic collecting. People are like, if you touch this book more than twice, you've like knocked $50 of its value off. And I'm like,
I harbor no illusions about like
buying
like, you know, a house on Nantucket with my Ninja Turtle collection. Like that's not going
to
happen.
I buy comics to read them.
What's the housing prices like in Nantucket these days?
Well, I can tell you what the housing prices in Boston are like, and they're probably worse than that.
I think my dad when he got his house cost like $50,000.
Oh my god. Why don't I live in America where things are insanely cheap?
Well, hey, yeah. if you want things to be less insanely cheap, you can move here where, like, you know, 1,000 square feet and, like, no yard is, like, $500,000.
Where is that? Oh, yeah, in California.
$50,000,
yeah,
we got a nice
There's also no water because of your freaking stupid plants that you guys keep planting.
We got a nice house and a half-acre backyard, and we have grass that has water.
If you want to live in 300-square-foot studio in Boston, you can pay upwards of $200,000 to $300,000 for that.
$50,000, half acre backyard. It's lovely. It's got like.
Now, if you go to where I used to live, like, you could find like a 2-bedroom place for like $40,000 or whatever.
Oh my god, that's insane. Yeah, no.
It used to be a 3-bedroom place, but one of the bedrooms has turned into a rec room.
Yeah, if you're in Toronto, say, and you want to buy a house in Toronto, anything that's like a major fixer upper on a postage stamp is no less than $500,000, no less. Now, if you're outside the city, yeah, I mean, like, it's $200,000, $300,000.
I live in the state capital.
Well, that's really expensive.
Nope, $50,000.
$50,000. Yeah, that was crazy.
I think your backyard, nice house.
I go to Florida. It's like $10,000 for a house. You know, like, yeah.
This is going to be Florida. This is the best podcast ever because now it's not even
the housing market.
The Turtle
podcast.
Movie was bad, and that we're old fogies, and that's why we don't like it. We have now devolved into talking about real estate.
We should definitely cut this part out.
Yeah.
You see, the advantage also is there's mineral rights for the land, so we get like a little $9-$10 check every once in a while. It's nice.
Like I said, we're old.
We are so old.
Unless we go get some Werther's Originals.
I totally thought you said that you get a $9 or $10 chicken.
It's a high-quality chicken, I'll tell you.
Like, that's, well, okay, yeah. It's kind of, I don't know. Is it expensive for a chicken?
Shade,
is that good?
Is that okay for a chicken? Yeah. Does it lay eggs? I think that's a high return on your value.
Platinum.
A $10 chicken that lays eggs, maybe if it laid a lot of eggs, that's not a bad idea.
It lays 100 eggs in one sitting. It is the god of chickens.
Poor chicken.
That's a chicken for a bodybuilder right there.
Anyway, oh my god, we have totally devolved into...
insane. We have, because we're going to do that IDW stuff next time. So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
next time. See you next year!
How was the movie?
No.
Okay,
we're going to do this more often.
Another 25 issues from now, we're going to do the 4-year retrospective, or 5-year, whatever, on the IDW comics. Anyway, my name's Josh. Andrew left. I haven't heard from Jeff in a few minutes.
That's because you guys keep yapping, and I can't get a word in edgewise.
Right? So, edgewise, my name's Josh, and we got Isaac and Colton, and Karen, and Karen, and Karen, and Karen's 4th appearance, and her 5th appearance. Woo! So, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you later.
You have been listening to Die Century X, the podcast.
We'd be listening to Real
Estate. Oh, no, I was on the Die Century podcast for the April Fool's edition.
You lucky bastard.
I got to play Mike, and Ryan got to play Julian.
Me and Naim have been wanting to do a topic on a Konzenshu where we talk about the comparison between, like, the Ginyu Tok Sentai and actual Super Sentai since we do a, you know, Power Rangers podcast.
Well, that would be pretty cool. I bet maybe if you threw, like, a YouTube video together kind of going over the basic points and not devolving into, like, an hour long of conversation and threw it in Mike's direction, like, maybe something might happen out of that.
Who's all going to Con?
Where's Naim? Are you on?
Quit. Let's see. I'm going to TMNT Day in Redlands on the 9th.
TMNT Day.
Yeah. Which, I mean, isn't like a huge thing, and I'm pretty sure the guy who is making all of that happen, I'm pretty sure he didn't get anybody who I had suggested because I don't think he had the budget for it.
Yeah, you mean that the guy you sent to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally, yeah.
Yeah, like when I first started talking to the guy, like, I thought, like, you know, because he was organizing an event that he kind of knew how to organize an event.
Yes, yes.
And yeah. It turns out I've never organized an event before, but I knew a bit more about it. Because he's like, well, how do I get a hold of this guy? I'm all like, you go through their fucking booking website. He's like, what's that? Yeah. You know, so.
Well, it's like he's helping a buddy who owns a comic book store that they're holding the event at.
Right. So I'm still going to go, and some of my friends are going to go, and we're going to have fun and everything, but it doesn't really look like it's going to be the thing that I was trying to help him make it into.
Because
I had no idea what his budget was, but I figured if I handed him a list and he got at least like two or three of the people that I was talking about, but none of those people have popped up on the list of...
No, they have to have a pretty good budget to fly a lot of people out and stuff.
So. Right. And, well, I was also trying to hit him up also with just people who lived in L.A., you know,
right.
And like people who are excited about it, like Brandon Ahman, for example. I was like, hey, I'm going to give you this guy's info and you know, you guys can work it out and hopefully I'll see you there. And he's like, cool, I'm excited to go. But like nothing ever happened out of that. Yeah. So I don't know.
Like ConCon, who's going? Karen, you're going, right?
I'm going to San Diego. Yeah, I have the best hotel.
I'm jealous and sad.
Why? Are you not going?
Well, I am going, but I probably don't have the best hotel.
Oh, that is true. No.
The hotel is a van down by the river.
We lucked out and good deeds were paid forward and I'm going to be
within
at the
walking distance.
I'm connected to the convention center.
Oh, shut up!
Wow, that is good.
Suck it!
Wow.
Again, I'm
are you
not
a
going
celebrity?
Inside.
Are you a celebrity, Karen?
I will be. No.
Apparently,
you're a vampire. Did you?
And the thing is,
people.
The thing is, this is the year. So I started going to San Diego because of the 25th anniversary, and every year I have gone, there has been the one solid like anchor thing I needed to see, and there isn't one of those this year.
Yes, there isn't.
The only reason I'm going is because I got tickets.
Right.
Like, I managed to somehow score preview night tickets, so I'm going because I got preview night tickets. So I have a feeling there might even just be some time where Karen's just going to be by the pool drinking a margarita.
Wow.
In the Southern California sun. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
So you're only going in on preview night?
No, I have. You couldn't get preview night unless you got all four.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So I got all four and preview night. So I've never ever bought
real tickets to a convention.
I have been to one convention. Okay. It was downtown.
Suck it, pants.
I'm not going into the convention again because pretty much I'm just kind of like, oh, hey, I wasn't awake or I wasn't around for that 10 seconds where I might have been able to get tickets. Yeah. So
I did get to meet Dante Bosco, though. That was cool.
So I'm going to do that thing that I do every year where I go down to San Diego and I see some friends and I enjoy all the spillover, which has just been getting larger every year.
Holy crap. I had a friend who had to drop out, but she only got tickets for 2 days. And she was like, what am I going to do? And I'm like, there's so much to do. Not only is it just San Diego.
Yeah.
But there's so much with Nerd HQ and conversations with a cause, like all of that.
Well, the best
there's
TMNT,
so much to do.
The best movie TMNT thing last year was off-site. Like it was parking lot.
And
could you get into the Xbox event or did you have to have a con pass to do that? That was over in that other hotel. There was like a whole ballroom.
I didn't even go to that.
That was kind of cool, I gotta admit, even though
I went over to like Petco Park and I went to the parking lot across from the convention center and whatnot, but I didn't go into like any hotels or anything.
No, I think maybe you had to have a badge maybe to get into that. That was pretty cool. Yeah. No, there's lots of spillover, like you say, and it's just cool to stand there and watch all the people come and go.
Oh
my God. We used to go and stand in the parking garage and watch the Line H people.
Yeah, no, like, we'll go to this one restaurant, me and everybody who goes with me, and get some burgers and get kind of tipsy and on the drinks they have there, not on the burgers, and, and like, we'll go around and just, like, look at cosplay and, like, the random, like, nerd vehicles that are driving around and stuff. Like, it's kind of interesting when, like, you know, you're kind of half drunk and you see the Ecto-1.
Mm.
So, this year. Last year, a friend of mine and I, it was cheaper for us to fly into Los Angeles and rent a car and drive down. And we were driving down the Pacific Coast Highway. And I love the moment I get on a plane to go to a convention, I start playing the Who's Going to Con game. And we're driving down the highway. They gave us a Mustang convertible, the rental place. So here we are, you know, two East Coast girls driving down the Pacific Coast Highway with the top down. And there's a Jeep slightly in front of us. I'm like, speed up, speed up. they had decked out their Jeep to look like one of the Jurassic Park convoy.
Oh, cool. Oh.
And they're driving down the highway at like 70 miles an hour, and I'm like, they are definitely going to con, and they are my favorite people ever.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That is amazing.
Nice.
That's why if you guys like that sort of stuff, and it's a little, it's harder to get hotel space than it is to get passes, because they haven't capped attendance yet, but Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia is nothing but people watching in costumes and alcohol for a weekend. It's awesome. So if you like that sort of stuff, I would highly recommend Dragon Con. But you got to get to Atlanta.
I would have gone to PowerCon last September if they hadn't canceled it after moving it to New York.
Oh.
The year before, they had expanded it to involve Thundercats and Ninja Turtles, so that was basically Thundercats, my girlfriend Heather, Ninja Turtles, myself. And we both kind of liked the other one also. But then the people who were running the con were all like, okay, well, we've heard a lot of people say, that you should bring the con to New York. So we did. And now we need this many pre-orders so we can get all the people who live in L.A. that we normally get out there. And they didn't get those pre-orders by that time, so they're like, oh, so we're going to have to cancel it. And, most of the comments throughout the entire time those pre-orders were going on was like, hey, bring it back to L.A. Hey, bring it back to L.A. And I haven't heard anything yet this year about them throwing one. And it would, kind of sucks because that was, a really cool, nice little con that, had some cool people and stuff going on. But it wasn't just majorly blown out yet.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I've heard about Heroes Con in Charlotte. That if you want an old school strictly comic book, strictly artist alley, comic focused convention, that Heroes Con in Charlotte is the one you need to go to. That's the one Kelly Sue and Matt Fraction.
Oh, I just looked right now. There are currently no plans for a 2015 PowerCon. The convention staff is hard at work brainstorming options for a possible 2016 event. So, yeah, it looks like whatever nest egg they built up, they blew it on trying to move it to New York before it got big enough that they could actually afford to move it to New York. So that really
sucks. Only PowerCon I would spend money to go to would be PowerMorphicon.
Where's that?
It's biannually in Pasadena.
Huh.
All the Power Rangers actors. I want to go.
That's
all the Power Rangers are there.
Ooh, Colton, I have a question for you that is not anywhere near Ninja Turtle related.
Yes.
That hardcore Power Rangers spoof fan vid. What are your thoughts on that? Did you like it? The one with Katie Sackhoff and Vanderbeek.
Before you say your
beak,
I'm gonna bow out, guys. I'm just gonna say goodbye before you get to your answer.
Later, man.
Oh, okay.
Good night, dude.
Later.
I'm gonna go sleep. Later, guys.
You know, I mean, for what it is, it's fine. I mean, clearly the guy was just doing something because he thought it was interesting. I mean, not a Power Rangers fan, but that's fine. But it's like some people liked it, some people didn't. I just thought there were a few moments where I laughed. I mean, who didn't love Hip Hop Keto video?
Oh yeah, no, I think having watched Power Rangers when I was younger and all that, it was kind of interesting, but I think I don't know, there was, it was really funny just seeing how dark and bleak everything was, but the Power Rangers actual costumes were pretty much just muscular versions of the Power Rangers actual costumes. There was no, that was the only thing that didn't get muted in terms of color. And I thought cinematography was
the Gray Rangers would have been depressing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you would have, you could still mute the colors a bit, but not quite go Man of Steel sort of muting. So where it's Superman's wearing gray or some shit. So, but that was just kind of funny. But, I mean, you could do more adult Power Rangers without getting that seriously bleak about it.
I mean, you have to go back to the source material. I mean, even in Japan, sometimes serious, sometimes funny. Sometimes Rangers die, which they really don't do in America because, kids.
Right. Well,
And whereas Japan, when their sixth Ranger died, they had a contest for the kids to say, if you support enough, we'll bring it back. And then they're like, no, the real lesson is people die and they stay dead. That was Japan teaching kids a lesson. Just no matter how much you want it, people stay dead.
Yeah, you're talking about Budai for Zoo Danger.
Yes,
right?
Which I got on DVD. Like,
yeah, I don't have that DVD yet, but I do want to get it simply for the fact that like my liking Power Rangers back in like 93 got me interested in the source material, which got me reading stuff on the internet.
It's 50 episodes for like 40 something dollars. It's pretty
right, good. But 40 something dollars, you know, that also goes towards other things too, and it's just kind of it hasn't really
curse you
got
needing
that
to
far
eat.
Up. Yeah, I know. Like, or even like, there's just other crap too. Like that ticket to go see Resurrection F was like $30.
You lucky know? Bastard!
So
I'm in the middle of the country, I could not go to that.
You know, so like, if I lived in the middle of the country, I'd be like, oh, well, I'm not going to go see Resurrection F, so I better buy fucking.
Well, I am,
Ranger.
But that's going to be a long in the summer.
Now that might be me typing. Sorry.
Hardcore sensitivity on the mic.
That was kind of an interesting sound. No, but yeah, like I would have, like I probably would have bought it by now if it were like other crap that I was more, you know, that's like kind of it's up on the list. Like I've got like an Amazon wish list sort of, and like Zero Danger is on there. Yeah,
the day that was announced, I was slamming the pre-order button with all the fury of a thousand suns.
Right, and like that's kind of how I am with like other things. Like Zero Danger is just one of those like. I liked the
I'm on a Power
Rangers
contest.
Tommy.
I am required by law to get this.
Right? Like, well, I won a Power Rangers contest too. It was funny because it was after the movie came out in the 90s.
No, podcast.
One with, like, Ivan Ooze and all that, right? And I won from like the local Fox station. I won their contest. Like, I was the right person to call, and they were like, okay, what time is it? And you're supposed to say it's morphin' time, and I did. Well, actually, I didn't the first time, because what they would do at like 6:30 in the morning, they would give you the hint, and then like 4:30 in the afternoon after you're home from school and everything, they would do the contest. And I didn't see the 6:30 thing. So they're like, what time is it? And I'm all like, 4:30? And they're like, no, it's blank time. I'm like, oh, it's morphin' time. They're like, cool, you win this Power Rangers VHS. And at the time, you know, you didn't collect a whole series of television shows on TV. You're just like, fuck, I already saw it on TV. So
I got the Boo Saga on VHS.
So what they're like, you got this Power Rangers VHS, and I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, it's the movie. I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, you know. And so I had to go down to the Fox station, the local Fox station, pick it up. And it was pretty cool.
Couldn't just ship it to you.
Do what? Oh yeah, right. I don't know. Like, that was kind of crazy. Like, you'd think they would have been able to send
You're our winner! Drive your ass down here.
Right? So, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of kids who never picked up their prizes because of that. And they just got to save the money and, like, hawk it again later.
Dad, I won the Power Rangers VHS!
Right? And it turned out to be the movie, which I didn't see the movie in theaters because my mom hated Power Rangers so much that she refused to buy any merchandise for me. Regarding Power Rangers.
That's me to do to a kid.
So really, the only two Power Rangers things I ever had as a kid were that movie, which I won in a fucking phone contest, and a Fliphead Tommy the Green Ranger without his shield or weapons that some poor kid left in a store somewhere that I snagged and put in my pocket.
I remember those.
So, I wasn't like hard up for Power Ranger merchandise. Like the only thing that I never got that I wanted was the fucking Dragon Dagger. So because
they re-released those. Like
I know they did. They re-released that. And they re-released the Morpher, and I sit there and I look at it, and I'm just kind of like, man, I could totally spend some money on that useless piece of plastic.
I regret not getting the Legacy Megazord while it was still in stock. That thing is a fortune now. Damn it.
Oh, I bet. Nah, but like I tend to buy a useless piece of plastic regarding like other things instead. It's just kind of like my Power Rangers fandom isn't like as hardcore as yours. So I'm just kind of like, oh, that's neat that they did a Legacy Morpher. If I just randomly won some contest where I had to go down to the local TV station and pick it up, you know, I totally get it. But
mine wasn't hardcore for a long time because I had after the main couple of years, I just kind of went on my own way. But then we found out that it was coming back, and Niamh was just like, want to do a podcast about it? I'm like, sure, that could be fun. And then we just 5 years later, I'm watching all this stuff.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it could be that way, too. I'm not saying it's like a nostalgia thing, but just like a hardcore fandom, your current hardcore fandom, you know, and like you're pretty much like. At a point where like you're like, oh my god, I'm hitting the pre-order button on Zero Ranger, like in the same sense that I'm just kind of like, oh my god, I'm going to get to go to an after party with the fucking Funimation people.
Oh, that,
or, you know, that sort of
I
thing.
I would throw my computer through the wall if I got that.
Right? So, and it's only because I'm local that I was, like, able to get it done. Like, right. I'm sitting there, like Mike and everyone over in Jersey, you know, for the Battle of Gods thing last July. Like, they're like, yeah, we're not going to be able to make it over all the way to L.A. Sorry. And I'm just kind of like, okay, cool. Let's get a hold of Justin Rojas at Funimation, and maybe I can go in on your behalf. And we did, and got a bunch of video. And
yeah, I remember that.
All that stuff, and we're on the podcast and everything. And so we did something similar for Resurrection F, except for like they were actually selling tickets to that one that time. So we just got in on that one, and we didn't do our video specifically for Konzenshu, but we went ahead and sent it their way. And I still have some movie swag that I need to send their way after I get paid again. I'll send it like over to them, and so they can do whatever they want with it.
Neat.
They can, because all this movie swag that I picked up, like I picked up like two of everything, and I might keep a little bit of it. But
this is too much swag.
It's just gonna sit around and do nothing in my apartment. So like I'm just kind of like, you know who would really love the crap out of this? The Konzenshu people. And you know what they might do? They might orchestrate a giveaway for the extras. So, you know, but that's them. So whatever. Some people who will love the shit out of it who didn't get to go will have it. So
I just picture myself like trying to hitchhike there with the Incredible Hulk theme from the old TV show playing. Do do do.
Yeah. That would be funny.
Sorry. I'm reading Tumblr, and it's Fangirl's reaction to the recasting of Shredder.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, on the plus side, he's actually Japanese. And someone was like, please do not hate me for this, but I kind of thought Tohoro Masamune, is he not Japanese? Like, no, they were talking about Shredder being Eric Sack, sorry. This is not a great story. It was much funnier on my Tumblr page. Continue.
Oh, I bet. No, like, when you said that, like, I was thinking, like, the actor, and I'm just like, wait, the new actor? He's not Japanese. You know, so, yeah.
For like the Zyuranger set, one of the reasons I'm excited for is if this sells well, you know, there's like 39 other seasons in Japan just waiting to be run over.
Right, and my stupid ass not buying it is keeping that from happening. Wow.
Well, the trick is, you know, you have to sell. How good does a series have to sell where you can get 39 season sets out?
Right.
It's not
easy.
That's
kind of yeah.
Even as big as Power Rangers is, like for the 20 seasons or whatever, we're like, oh god, are they gonna sell well enough to get them all out?
Right.
Is the nostalgia strong enough? And it was.
Well, I mean, the 90s is a pretty strong nostalgia to have right now. I mean, they pretty much made sure that shit was going to work in like the when they sold the 80s back to us, you know, 10 years ago.
They had the proof right there. The 80s worked. The 90s will work.
So let's just hit these 90s kids now that they're old.
Speaking of the 90s, Toei. Well, 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
This year is just Toei. Like, remember when we used to do stuff you loved as kids? We're doing it all again because we got nothing else. Come on.
Right. Well, at least this time they finally learned that, you know, if you actually produce new content, that, you know, it'll move merchandise. Well, like, they did Kai, and, like, Kai only
But they're also
well
doing Sailor Moon Crystal, so they clearly did not know.
Well, no, well, like, at least they reanimated that and gave it some new music and stuff like that, so there's that. But, like, you know, with the Dragon Ball portion of it, it's like, you know, Kai didn't do well, they cut it off after the Cell arc because they didn't move enough merchandise. Then a few years later, they come back and they're like, okay, brand new game, brand new two movies. Hey, wow, this stuff's actually moving merchandise.
New things.
Maybe if we'd have actually moved, maybe if we'd actually made new content, then maybe we would have been making money all along. So now they're doing Dragon Ball Super.
I'm looking forward to that. And I can't hate Kai. It gave me the dub I always wanted.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't hate Kai either. Like, Kai actually did really well here. It just didn't do all that well in Japan. Because in Japan, it's not a big deal. They're just like, oh,
we wow, already got this. It's down. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, we already have a good version of Dragon Ball Z. You know,
we watched it in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, and like here, we're just kind of like, oh, crap. Like, you know, I have Dragon Ball Z, and I have Dragon Ball Kai, and, like, if I go back and forth between the two dubs, like, pretty much, like, watching Dragon Ball Z's dub is like watching Super Mecha Force 5 or some shit. So, you know, and like with Casey being like, why do you watch your anime dubbed? Like, that's pretty much how it is. Like, I'm all like, okay, I'm going to switch this back over to Japanese. You know, if I put on Kai, though, I can just play it on the default settings, and it's amazing. And it's apparently getting really good views on Toonami right now, too.
Yeah, it's almost like with comparing Power Rangers to Super Sentai. It's like two companies worked in the same exact stock footage, but they're like, let's do different acting.
Oh yeah, that's pretty much. I've made that comparison a few times, especially with like the music differences
different
and some of, like the motivational differences they've done between.
Ironically, Saban worked on both at one point.
Yeah, you know, and so like I've made that comparison before, where it's all like, yeah, let's just go ahead and, you know, like, because people are saying with like Dragon Ball Super, they're like, bring back Bruce Falconer, he made DBZ. I'm just kind of like, what the fuck ever, man. Like, Bruce Falconer is to what actually is Dragon Ball as fucking Shuki Levy and Ron Wasserman are to Zero Ranger. You know, they're good for the product they made at the time and during the time that it was made, but you can't just be all like, Shuki Levy is Zero Ranger. Like,
God. Speaking of, I miss Ron Wasserman so much with the modern music.
Like, I've only, really, the only modern episode of Power Rangers I've watched in the past few years was the one where, like, that season finale where, like, Tommy showed up for, like, 10 fucking seconds.
That was the end of what I call the bad Neo Saban era.
Right. And
their,
like,
season's actually been good, but for 4 years, they came back and were like, we got Power Rangers back, and we're not going to try at all because it's back, and you'll just give us our money.
Right. Well, like, that got hyped up for months. And then it was all like, okay, he's going to show up to help some kid out of a car, and he's going to stand there and do some talking, and then during the battle scene, you're not going to see him at all, and then at the end, he's going to be standing there again doing some talking. And I'm just really? I watched this 20-fucking-minute episode for this?
It was even worse, because if you watch the Japanese version, they brought back as many people as they could, at least one person for every season of the then 35 seasons out.
Right? So, like,
show was actors coming back, and the movie, they had, like, every single ranger in a giant battle, and, like...
Well, the Green Ranger was the main reason I even watched that show in the first place. Like, when they did Green Ranger versus White Ranger, I hoped the clone would win. Like, that's how, eventually, when I got further and further away from that ever happening again, that's kind of where my interest started waning. Because, like, before there was a Green Ranger, I was just kind of like, oh, Power Rangers, yeah, that's a thing. I watched it once.
Oh.
You know, and then there was a Green Ranger.
If you're interested, for a Patreon for, you know, Linkar, right?
Yeah.
For my Patreon, I paid $40, and he's going to review the Japanese version of the Green with Evil arc.
Oh, sweet.
That's going to happen in the summer, like August.
That's badass, So basically when Brai came back and all that stuff.
Basically from his appearance until the whole end where he joins the team. And then the last half of the episode ends with them showing off their new toys because we got a few minutes. We got to show the kids the toys.
Yeah, exactly.
For some reason, God descends from heaven and says, you can make this new mech combination. That's literally what happens.
Yeah, I know. I'm familiar. There are episodes, though, that I wish they would have, like, for Power Rangers made, like, stayed a little closer to that Japanese action footage for the American version, like when the Yellow Ranger when he did that whole fucking ninja thing, and
he was
in the ninja house and all that stuff.
How they Zero turned Ranger. The yellow ninja named Boy into a girl.
At least just the action sequences, that would have been super cool.
That was actually
the morphed sequences, and then, like, you know, if they wanted to, like, I don't know, earlier in the episode, just have Tommy and Jason teaching Trini ninjutsu or something in the youth center before some slapstick happens.
Before there are 20 extracurricular activities to help the homeless.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, and then Bulk and Skull, some slapstick happens to them in the process. So, which honestly, as an adult, Bulk and Skull are my favorite Power Ranger characters. I can see anything.
They're delightful.
And it also helps that, like, the guys who played them are just, like, super cool dudes.
And they're also probably the best actors on the show at the time.
Probably. So, and they basically...
Slapstick comedy is hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, they kind of... I don't know. They kind of got, like, this... When it comes to them, like, as people, they kind of got, like, this Tenacious D vibe going on.
Yes.
Cool. So...
I think it was the guy who played Skull, Jason Narvi, he pretty much made some comment about how he was, like, my friend's, like, real father. Like, in the middle of an interview.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you delightful skull.
So, yeah, like, but yeah, like, as an adult, like, they are my favorite characters. Like, it's, and the thing is, like, actually knowing Zoolander better now, like, actually having seen it, like, it's kind of hard to actually watch some of the episodes of Power Rangers.
It is,
because I'm all, like, because the change is a lot more jarring now. Like, it's always been jarring. It's always
it is literally two different worlds.
But yeah, like, it's just kind of like, oh, we're on the basketball court and there's a turtle with a stop sign. Let's all morph. Now we're somewhere else.
Now we're in the middle of downtown Tokyo.